so grow and produce.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Come on, let us exalt his name together. Let us exalt his holy name together. For he is holy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. His time. Come on. Come on. Say something else to him. It's his time. Amen. That's a great, great feeling in here. In other words, the atmosphere is, you know, if I could come up with a word, I would tell you, but I have no words. He'll leave you speechless. Yeah, you be trying to quote scripture. No, he'll leave you speechless. Somebody know what I'm talking about. He is. He is. Amen. If you would, grab the hand of your neighbor. Right where you're standing, grab the hand of your neighbor. Squeeze that hand real tight. Before I pray, I want you to speak into that person's life this morning. Tell that person, no matter who they are, God has something great for you today. Yeah, tell your other neighbor, there's a word for you. Now ask somebody, anybody, are you ready to receive it? Also recognize that we are the conduit that you use to spread your gospel, encourage us this morning, Holy Ghost. Yeah, pick us up this morning. If there's rebuking, rebuke. Reproof, reprove. Have your way this morning. All things for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Give God a hand clap of amen. Amen. Praise God. I don't know how it sounds in the house, but it's a little different than normal here. Praise God. If you're glad to be here, say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Right where you're standing, we're going to continue on with destiny. Amen. Destiny. Destiny. I want you to find your places in the book of Jeremiah 29:11. The book of Jeremiah 29:11. If you don't have a Bible, hospitality will provide one for you. Amen. No matter what you think or what you heard, we are a Bible-believing, teaching church. It's in the monitors. We are a Bible-believing, teaching church. We get criticized a lot, and I know I do. Folks can be critical, but they don't know the whole story. So yeah, you can't show up in the last 5 minutes of the sermon and try to create the whole picture. Somebody say, be on time. Amen. Jeremiah 29:11. If you would, please stand for the reading of the word. Amen. Give me some highs, maybe. I'm very white up here. Amen. I want to sound like Peter, okay? Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord." Let me say that again. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. I can't go on any further. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Y'all want me to read the rest of it, but I want to stick here. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord of hosts. For I know the plans I have for you, declares Jehovah Jireh. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you hope, expectation, and a future. Somebody say future. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. I want to just spend a few minutes in this Bible study this morning real quick in this Sunday school lesson to tell you or to teach about this purpose in my hopelessness. Yeah, there's purpose in my hopelessness. Mm-hmm. Tell your neighbor you have a purpose before you're seated this morning. You have a purpose. There's purpose in my hopelessness. You may be seated. There's purpose in my hopelessness. In my hopeless situation, there's purpose. We've defined destiny, and it has already been defined by God. We put it on the screens, and destiny can be defined this way. It says it is a called, customized life. A called, customized, you've been hearing this for almost 2 months. A called, customized life that God has ordained and equipped you to accomplish in order to bring him, not you, not us, to bring him glory and achieve the greatest of his kingdom. To achieve the greatest of his kingdom. A called, customized life, specified specifically for me, for you. A customized life, not something that somebody pulled out of a box, not pulled out of a hat, but a called, chosen. Somebody say, I'm chosen. A called, customized, chosen life for you. God has ordained and equipped you to accomplish in order to bring him glory and achieve the greatest of his kingdom. There's purpose in my hopelessness. There's a story about two men, but it's much more than just the two men. I'm going to give these two men, these two characters, two different names. I like to, you know, do this because I think I'm a bit of an author. The names of these guys, we're going to call them Billy and Johnny. Anybody know Billy and Johnny? Might be some Johnnies in here. Any Billies? Okay, I'm not talking about y'all. And so these guys went on a trip, and, you know, the reason they went on a trip, they wanted to go hunting. Anybody like to hunt? Okay. I only like to hunt after church when I'm going to eat. It's already dead. I ain't got to kill it. And then I go work. Okay. Somebody said, I can tell. I caught that. Okay. So Billy and Johnny, they go on this hunting trip. And when they get to the area, they see signage. And the sign says there's a bounty for every wolf that is killed and brought to us. You will earn $50. So Billy and Johnny get like super excited because they didn't expect to win any money. They just going out to kill what they're going to kill to bring it back so they have food on the table and maybe make a few dollars. Billy and Johnny go out into the wilderness and set up a tent. And it says that as they gather themselves and after they pitched the tent, they got in there, got acquainted with the area and the atmosphere, and nighttime had fallen. And Billy is awakened out of his sleep because he hears some growling. Billy wakes up and he peeps out of the tent and he sees teeth and eyeballs looking at him. Billy goes crazy, and Billy says, well, let me see what else is going on. He looks on the other side of the tent, and he realizes that he is surrounded by wolves. I mean, just all around the tent. And I believe it says like 50 wolves out there. Billy says, we are in a hopeless situation, and we are about to die. Billy looks back in the tent, and he sees Johnny, and he says, Johnny, wake up. We're about to lose our life. Man, there's wolves everywhere. Johnny wakes up, says, man, what's all the fuss about? Grabs his gun, looks out of the tent, and he begins to smile, and he becomes very excited, and he looks at old Billy Boy and says, Doc, we're not about to die. We just became rich. I say that to say, destiny many times comes by way of perspective. Because what you see as a hopeless situation, your neighbor may see as an opportunity. And that's why God will bring people into your life that can see what you cannot see, so that you won't miss what he has for you, because your eyes and your ears, and watch this, your heart will play tricks on you. And many times we make moves predicated upon what we feel and what we see. Johnny says, no, we about to make some money. 50, 100, 150, 300, 1,000. Johnny says, no, we about to be rich, Doc. Purpose in my hopelessness. Many times we find ourselves in situations that we make decisions based upon what's on the outside, not what's on the inside. The reason why Johnny had such great expectation is because he carried weapons to defeat the enemy that was on the outside. The first thing I want to tell you is that power on the inside should never be dependent upon circumstances on the outside. Power on the inside should never be determined by circumstances on the outside. There is something that is working on the inside of you and I that can be exhibited in this life, not when you get to heaven, but now, if we would tap into our, because it's been given to us, supernatural ability. God has amazed me by showing me that I'm called. In other words, when I find myself in a hopeless situation called hopelessness, God always reveals to me what's on the inside of me. And I get to see and experience the evidence when I speak what he has given to me. Because when I speak what has been given to me, it automatically sets on fire what's already inside of me. You have to hook up with something or someone who's going to help ignite what's on the inside of you. If you got folks all around you and nobody can turn on any switches, maybe you have too many folks turning off switches that are surrounding you than folks that are turning on switches. Because if everybody is turning something off, that means nothing is in operation. If everybody around you is downing you and putting you down and bringing discouragement and bringing a negative energy, you see, negative energy does not have to be spoken. Negative vibes and energetic waves will arrive when you show up if you are the negative person. People say, well, I haven't said anything. I haven't said anything, Pastor. No, you just showed up. Because negativity is all on you. It's what you carry. And what you carry and what you release is on the inside of you. And the reason why it's on the inside of you is because you've lived life so long and long enough where you've allowed so many things and so many people and so many places to deposit into you what doesn't belong in you. So your life, whew, good God Almighty, your life has become an example of negative influence activities, and what you, watch this, what you draw is negativity. You should be drawing positive influence into your life. Oh, man. We got some work to do. Because something on the inside should be overriding what's on the outside. Even so, when we discover and look at the text, you know, I find myself, and I'm going to get to it in a minute, and I find myself, and I say myself, I mean the ministry, I mean people. I mean people I come in contact with, people I meet with, people that I talk with. God has given me a special ability. God has given me a special ability, and I've discovered it, and I'm gonna own it, and I'm gonna charge it to Kingdom Works. He's given me the ability to discern what's inside of a person without conversing with a person. Now, that's a scary and touchy thing, because you have people trying to deliver what they don't have. You have people trying to say things or quote things, we in church, preach things or teach things or convey things in conversation that they don't have. In other words, you're sharing with me something that you have not discovered, but maybe something that you heard. And because you heard it does not mean that you live it. And so because you don't live it, you cannot validate what you say, called testimony. Okay, come on. And so it's a scary thing, because I see it, I'm like, whoo, I got to get away. But you know what? God says, no, you got to listen, because you're supposed to identify, watch this, which is discovery, now bring it up out of the person so that they can be set free, because they are living in bondage. And bondage, watch this, oftentimes comes in the form of lies. And so if you find a person who's living a lie, they will also speak lies, not only speak lies, but they will walk in unfaithfulness. It's a scary thing, because you see a thing and you're like, whoa, I can't say nothing yet. Well, it's tough, because I'm sitting down having lunch or having dinner with you or having a meeting with you or having a conversation with you, and I'm saying, you lying, you lying, you lying, you lying, you lying, you lying. But I got to look straight in your face and wait for the right opportunity to tell you that you're lying. It ain't for everybody. And so, oh, man, somebody say, is it me, is it me, is it me? No, 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 I'm not talking about anybody here. Even though we find ourselves in a dark situation or a dark circumstance, because we are a part of the kingdom, Christ-like individuals, and he's my daddy, I also, in a hopeless situation, find myself in a well-lit situation, paradox, contrary. If you notice, everywhere you read in the scripture concerning things that God has given you, always comes across as contrary. It always comes across as contrary. I didn't say it was contrary. I said it comes across that way. In fact, the devil will make you believe that it's a contradiction. That's why you have people walking around in the church today, not just here, but all over, saying that the Old Testament and the New Testament is a contradiction. No, it's actually a merit. They go together. It's two covenants wrapped in one. And so many of us are in a, what we would call a dark situation, that's actually always well lit in Christ Jesus. We find ourselves in a not so pleasant situation. You know, it's kind of like when you're in a hopeless situation, You call the suicide hotline and the operator puts you on hold. Yeah, y'all been there. It's like you know you're in a hopeless situation when you got a twin brother and he forgets about your birthday. You know you're in a hopeless situation when you're in your room minding your business and you hear birds singing outside of your window only to discover it's not birds, it's buzzards. Yeah. See, these are what we call hopeless situations. And many people find themselves living under, we will call it weather people, an overcast in the skies. In fact, every time I hear people say this, every time I walk out of my house, I'm walking in darkness. And every time I set foot in a place, there's always a dark side. Pastor, when am I going to get to experience those things and those teachings that you talk about concerning this joy and this peace and this love? When am I going to experience sunny skies and blue days? When am I going to experience this life? Living in a sea of hopelessness, surrounded by a land of emptiness. Somebody say he's been reading. Things aren't really working out for me. Regrets and circumstances aren't in my favor. And I feel like, Pastor, there is no destiny for me. There is no destination. There is no purpose. There is no reason behind this madness. You don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to tap on your neighbor. I'm telling you that there is no life. I'm going to talk for you. I'm going to testify for you. I'm saying there's no life, Pastor, behind this madness. I'm in ministry. I'm married. I'm single. I thought I was whole. I thought I was financially stable. But somehow, some way, I find myself in this dark world. I find myself in this dark situation. I'm doing ministry. I'm preaching. I'm teaching. I'm showing people how to come out of their rut, how to come up out of that dark place, out of that pit. But somehow, some way, I still find myself in the gutter. I'm going to identify with you today. Don't leave me. I'm going to share the truth. I'm going to identify with you today. I'm in this dark, dark situation. Let me tell you something. What we got to stop doing is stop running. We've got to stop running because guess what? That cloud that's over here in Hall River, in Mebane, in Burlington, is the same cloud that's going to be in West Virginia, in California, in Nevada, in Mexico, in Puerto Rico, in Punta Vallarta. It's the same cloud. Puerto Vallarta, my bad. I just got off a little bit. Yeah, vacation coming up. I can't wait. Vacation coming up. And so this cloud, this substance, these circumstances, these people, have you noticed that you cannot run from folk? You can't run from people. Look, let me tell you something. If you're coming, if you're visiting here for the first time, second time, third time, or if you're a member, guess what? Them same jokers you left over there, they over here. They right here. Look, we love you. Everybody is most people are in love here. And, you know, this is what we do. There's love in the atmosphere. And love will always conquer darkness. But I'm saying, Joker, some of them are still up in here. It's okay. It's okay. It only hurts if it's the truth. Okay. And so I find myself in this overcast, in this sea, surrounded by this land. And I'm struggling. I'm struggling because I cannot see nor find my destiny. Jeremiah, I like it. Jeremiah 29:11, I'm going to give you a different version, says, I have a plan for you, saith the Lord. A plan, watch this, for your well-being and not your calamity. A plan for your well-being and not your calamity. I love preaching the text. To give you a future and expected hope. To give you hope. Somebody say hope. He says, I have a place that I want to take you that you can't see yet, but it is resting on the other side of the mountain of your tomorrow. I got a place I want to take you to. I got to show you something, a plan for you, for your well-being, to give you a future, to give you hope. H-O-P-E. I know some people think that hope, and this is not the definition by far, but some people in the church, because we're family and we can talk like this, and I can share your story, and I can share your lack of understanding, but I don't have to call your name, but you know who I'm talking to, and you know who I'm talking about. But there's some people in this place called church and ministry who believe that hope is wishing for something you are never going to get, but the biblical definition tells me different. I can tell you that that's a lie, that hope is wishing for something that you're never going to get. That tells me that you just spoke death over your life. In fact, you just killed your tomorrow. You just killed your future. You killed your situation because you believe somebody sharing with you that has no substance, and because they've given up on their life and their hope, you allow them to deposit into your life. I don't care what they have on and what their title is. Don't you ever let anybody speak death into your life. Say, well, they have this degree, pastor, and they have all of this, and their names are on buildings, and they drive this and they drive that. Let me say it again. Don't let anybody kill your destiny. As parents, we allow different physicians and doctors to kill the life and the destiny of our very own children by putting these labels on them and say they cannot accomplish this and they cannot be that, and they need to be on this drug and they need to be on that drug and they need to do this and they won't be able to do that, and they have these handicaps. But God can do all things. God is the creator of the masterpiece. He created my son. He could created my daughter. He created my children. He created this destiny for us. And so we get here and it says that there is a future, a hope, expectation. Talk to me a little bit more, Pastor. I got a few more minutes. The biblical definition of hope is joyful, expecting joy in my future. In other words, today may be a sorrowful day. Today may be a lacking day, but my tomorrow, I'm going to have joy. Tomorrow, I'm going to have peace. Tomorrow, I'm going to live. Tomorrow, I will not die. In fact, in order for me to get to tomorrow, I got to speak life into my destiny situation, which is the future, which is in the next second. So I have to speak it into the atmosphere before I step into the atmosphere, because the moment I step into the atmosphere, it's no longer my future, but it's my past. Oh my goodness. See, I'm trying to get you to understand that really, in fact, your tomorrow is not just your future, but your right now in the next moment is your future. You've got to learn to speak into the atmosphere. I can't step here till I spit on it. I got to speak in this place before I step in here. Okay. Bring it solid, Pastor. Bring it solid. Come on. See, I get excited. I'm so excited. I get excited. I just can't hide it. Come on. So it says that hope, expectation, bringing, speaking joy into my future. That's the definition of hope. Hope is always future oriented. Hope is always about where I'm going, not where I am, not where you are, but hope is about where you're going. Not, watch this, here's the church, here come folks coming down your road. Not where you've been. A lot of us think that my hope is predicated upon where I've been, but I've left where I've been. I'm only focused on where I've been because I allowed people to come in and talk about where I've been. You allow people to bring your fast past into your future. Somebody gonna grab that in a minute. Whoa! Hey! Okay. I had to get it out. I'm sorry. Hope means my tomorrow is going to be better than my yesterday. I can't, I'm trying to stand still. I can't. Hope means my tomorrow is going to be better than my yesterday. Where am I going? Where am I going with this? It means that where I am going is not where I am. Where I'm going is not where I am. I'm trying to stay still. Where I'm going is not where I am. You can go a long way with hope if you can look out and see, watch this P word, possibility, you will have life. If I can look out the window and see an expected ending, then there's life. If I can peep through the door and see a future, I know that I can get out of this black box. If I can peep through those bars and see a future on the other side of this wall, I can endure 36 more months. If I can peep through this thing and see a future, I gotta close. I gotta go. I gotta go. I gotta. If I can see, somebody say, if I can see, you can go a long ways. Go a long ways. You can keep going. Let me prove it. Let me prove it. I can prove it. I'm gonna give you about 3 or 4 different things. If payday wasn't coming, you would have quit by now. Talk to me. Them jokers make you sick. In fact, every time you walk in, you throw up. But the reason that you stay is because payday is coming. If you didn't believe that it could work, you would have not spent another day in that misery. The reason why you haven't left yet, I'm talking about you. The reason why you haven't left yet is because you know God is somewhere in the drawing. God is somewhere in the picture. I can't leave yet because I know God is inside of that thing. I can't walk out because I know God is somewhere in there. Somebody say, he's in there. He's in there. This is what God offers. This is what God offers. And I ain't even preached the text yet, but this is what God offers. God offers a good verse, Jeremiah 29:11, a good verse. Here it is, in a bad chapter, located in a difficult book. Ooh, y'all ain't hear me. God offers a good verse located in a bad chapter in a very dark book called Jeremiah. So, let me give you a 60-second exegetical here. So the Jews whom he is writing about, the Jews are struggling. And they are struggling because they are in a location, listen to it, that they cannot see a way out. They want to be out, but they cannot see a way out. They don't know how long, listen to it, that's what they sound like us. They don't know how long that they are going to be stuck in this dark situation. Many are like that now. How long do I have to endure this job? This is my real closing here. How long do I have to endure this marriage? Oh, don't you raise your hand. How long do I have to endure this situation? How long, Pastor? Oh, you don't come to me for this. How long do I have to endure this church? How long do I have to endure these folks? Can I keep going? Shall I keep going? Let me come down your road, because y'all say, that's not me. You hadn't hit my point yet. How long do I have to endure these kids? How long do I have to endure this place? How long do I have to endure these other choir members, these other praise team members? How long do I have to endure and put up with this leader of hospitality, this leader of the music department, this leader of ministry, this associate pastor, these deacons, this deaconess? I'm talking about somebody. How long do I got to put up with these kids in this kid zone? I told them I would do it for one Sunday. Now I've been working one Sunday a month. How long do I do it? How long do I endure with this pastor who keeps on teaching and preaching about me? Realize that I've never had a meeting with him. I never had a discussion with him. I've only embraced him. He embraced me. Why is he talking about me? Paradox, contradiction. The devil will bring you to a place where you begin to live a lie, and now you're trying to walk on water and you're sinking. How long do I endure this wife, this husband, this career, my finances, these bills, this body, my hair, my weight, my complexion? Oh, how long do I wait and deal with this depression? How long do I continue to be stressed out and live this lie and put on this other face and put on this facade and live this life and show up like everything is great, hunky-dory, and everything's okay? How long do I have to endure? God, when are you going to change my situation? When are you going to do it? Because I'm sick of coming Thursday, putting on a mask. I'm sick of showing up for first service and second service, and then we got a third service. I'm sick of it. How long do I have to endure this? I'm ready to step out and fly. I want to spread my wings, God. I want my own church. I want to preach my own preach. I want to preach my own in my own sanctuary. I want to preach. I want to do this. I want to sing on my own stage. I want my own platform. I want my own this. I want my own that. But you're screwing up already because it's not about you. It's about what God wants. The mistake is that we're so busy chasing the plan and not busy chasing the planner. Oh, let me tell you something that they'll never tell you. Stop chasing your destiny. If he knows plan, saith the Lord, and there's a plan to prosper me, as a plan to oh God, not for calamity and destruction. There's a plan for me to prosper. Then I need to hook up with the planner. See, most people would chase the money. No, I want to talk to the man with the money. I want to seek out your mind. I want to know how you did it. Because if I don't know how you did it and I don't know how to keep it, then there's no real reason for me to get it. Most people are reaching for what they see, but you should be reaching for what's behind the scenes. Most folks want this, but they don't want to go through the headache to get here. I know I'm called for this. Because now I got people looking at me in my face, giving up, saying, look, I can't take this no more. I'm looking at them like they're crazy. Like, what you mean? This is what we're called to do. This is ministry. What you mean you're going to walk out? No, this ain't about your spouse. This is about a covenant that you made with God. You're going to walk out? You're going to walk out on ministry? What? Because of somebody said something or somebody did what? You might want to sit at home and then you walk out on yourself because you begin to talk about yourself. And the reason why you don't have respect for yourself because you're already talking about yourself. You're miserable by yourself. That's why it's possible in God to be made whole with God by yourself. Because you got to learn to love yourself before you love people. God knows. In that story, Indiana Jones, the enemy was looking for the gold. And the son tells the daddy, Daddy, they're looking for the same thing we're looking for. What are we going to do? Call the Holy Grail. What are we going to do, Daddy? And when the enemy finally captured the gold, son said, Daddy, what are we going to do? Daddy said, don't worry about it, because the plan that they just received and snatched and stole, he said, son, I wrote the plan. God is saying, listen, you're seeking out something that I can give you again. You're running about to lose your head concerning something that I created in the first place. And if you would seek me and my face, I can give it to you again because I'm the ultimate creator. They can't duplicate what I create. heads bowed, all eyes are closed. God, I thank you this morning. I thank you for life. I thank you for health. I thank you for strength. I thank you for going through hard times. God, I thank you for allowing the people to go through hard times to re-strengthen, to give them hope, to keep them in that situation, to let them know that they can make it and we shall live and not die. To let them know that we are the head and not the tail. Although it feels that way sometimes in hopeless situations, God, we look to you to give you the glory because you got the plan. We're to plan it out, but you have the plan, God, for a great and expected ending so that you can get the glory. Now, God, rest upon these individuals. Rest upon us. Let us not be too proud, too bold, too big to stay humble. Energize us, God. In every place that we're weak in, strengthen us, energize us. Move us so we can stand again. Open our mouths again, God. Thank you for allowing us to pray out of situations, out of places and things that look to be hopeless. Thank you because I can pray for my neighbor, pray for my church, I can pray for the kids and the youth department and every ministry that's attached and anything that Satan has seeked out and sought out to kill and destroy. I speak authority over Satan right now. I speak those things. I speak those things that be not as though they were. I plead the blood of Jesus over the life of God's people, over your people. I have that authority. I have that place. I am a place, a man over having dominion, authority, and power. We are. You've given it to us. For that, we say thank you. Speak over our life concerning our destiny. Even though the storm's not over, it will be, because I can endure it. Bless the finances. Bless the ones that are going to give this morning. Bless the ones that don't have to give. And bless the ones that have it, but their hearts are hard. So bless them that their heart may shift and change, and they can give out of their own will for your purpose and for your glory and for your kingdom. In Jesus' name, let the church say amen. Give God a hand clap and a hallelujah shout.